Hey marketers, advertisers and business owners. Do you find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners. So there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
This is the Unapologetically Black Podcast.
Understanding that your blackness is part of your greatness.
Blackness just comes from being me, and that's it.
Men are allowed to do whatever the fuck they want to do. They can be cheaters, they can be liars, but women are expected to be righteous.
So if you're someone who in a concert you're going to say the N-word, in my opinion, at home you're going to say it as well. In friendship, there's someone who deposits and there's someone who withdraws. You don't want to be the friend that's keep depositing and the person that keeps withdrawing.
Poor people don't have time for depression.
I'm so tired.
Abortions doesn't actually reduce abortion.
But actually, if my mental health is not okay, I can't help you in any capacity.
I mean, my entire life I've lived under the gaze of my parents.
Fuck that shit.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dig Deep. This is the episode where myself and Leanne dig deep into our sisterhood by asking each other a series of questions. If it's your first time listening, sit back, get a cup of tea and enjoy. Hi, Leanne. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm doing okay. Today is a good day. How are you doing?
I'm fine. I'm good. I have a migraine, but I just had some codeine. So hopefully it wears off whilst we're recording. But you know what I was thinking about today? The fact that you're a good liar. Because why was we on a meeting the other day and someone was like, guys, for you guys listening, me and Leanne was on a meeting, yeah? And this is a fake conversation. The person goes, do you know Beyonce? And Leanne's like, yeah, I know Beyonce. And I'm thinking, who the hell is Beyonce? So I messaged Leanne, like, do you actually know Beyonce? And Leanne's like, of course not. It made me think, there's been so many times where someone said, do you know this or do you know that? And I'm sure a lot of those times Leanne did know. But it made me just think, like, all the times that I was confused, Leanne might have been confused too. And I've never even doubted you ever.
Here's the thing. I lie. This is a horrible thing to say. I do not lie to my friends.
Okay.
But if I need to lie in order to get something done or to get something that I want from a stranger or from, you know, someone else, I will tell a white lie now and again.
Well, it was a white lie. It didn't change anything. It's not like you were saying, you know, the real Beyonce, you're promoting her to come to a gig or something like that. It wasn't even relevant to the conversation, to be honest. And that was that meeting, honestly, guys, we didn't need to have.
Waste of time.
But yeah, that's what I was thinking about today.
Is what a waste of time our conversation is. Was, and the fact that I'm proving myself to be more of a liar than you originally thought.
Yes.
Yeah. But rest assured, guys, all of my friends know this about me, but they all trust me implicitly that I would not lie to them.
Not the disclaimers.
Which is true.
Guys, the disclaimers are coming through and through.
No, this is why I was such a good... this is a horrible thing to say. And
a good cheater.
Please feel free to cut it out. Yeah, but this is why I was a good cheater. This is why I was a serial cheater, because I'm actually really good at lying.
I'm not going to lie, yeah. I do think that girls, when it comes to cheating, or women, when it comes to cheating, cheat better than men. Because 100%. I wouldn't say I'm a cheater per se, yeah. But if I needed to cheat, he would have no idea. None!
You know... A friend of mine, I think the only people that maybe realize that I've cheated on them is if I've told them or if they've listened to this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But a friend of mine once said, my actual former ex-sideman, He said to me, don't lie until you absolutely have to. And this is not a crash course on how to lie, but like the lie out of a larger story should be the tiniest thing. So if you tell your partner about the day, you're going to tell your partner about your day, excluding the fact that you cheated on them.
Yeah. So like how, let's do role play. Okay. So in this scenario of this role play, who's going to be the cheaty? I'll be the person that cheated. Okay.
Okay. All right, cool.
And in this scenario, the way I cheated is that I went to a party, my ex was there, and we lit.
Okay. All right, cool.
The story's actually quite close to home. Anyway, yeah. So that's the story of Balamori. Okay. So
this is the morning after. Yeah, this is the morning after. And I'm asking you how the party was.
Right. All right, cool.
So babes, how was the dance last night?
Oh, you know what? It was really good. And the DJ was sick. Like, it was just such a good time.
Okay, cool. Who was there?
Everyone, like. Everyone was there. Like, yeah, crazy.
Okay, like, which of the girls, were the girls with you? Like, who was
yeah,
there?
I had my normal, like, Aaliyah, Tash was there, Charles. It was just us three. We went, like, all four. We went, it was a good vibe. But yeah, it was just nice. You know when everyone's just in a good mood and, like, no one's watching anyone, the music's good, drinks are flowing, but you're not too drunk. Yeah, I loved it.
Oh, so you were wiling out then?
Not really wiling out, just, you know, just on a good vibe.
Shani's so guilty. He's so guilty as
well. The worst thing is, the story's not real yet, but I feel very guilty right now. My chest is like, don't get caught, don't get caught, don't get caught. Do not get caught.
No, but don't do it.
The reason
don't
why this story was kind of close to home, because I remember I was with my ex, yeah, and I went to a party, and I had no idea. Did I have an idea? Oh, no, I did have an idea. Ooh. So basically, I was with my ex, and I went to a party, and this guy that liked me, I think I knew he was going to be at the party, but someone else had invited me to that party, yeah? So imagine I'm like, okay. Oh, Leanne's invited me to this party, I'm going to go. But actually, Leanne, your guy friend likes me, and you told me he's going to be there.
Okay.
But you haven't told me he's going to be there as a way for me to go. You've just told me he's going to be there because you're telling me who's there that I know. Do you get what I mean? And then, yeah, the next day we had a conversation. No, I think I got a bit too drunk and I had driven there. So okay. Because of that, he's on the phone. He's like, who are you with? Who are you with? But the guy has now come to the car. And okay, my friend's right, now right. gone because my friend had to be up early in the morning. So I was like to her, just get a cab home. I'm going to sleep in the car. I figure it out. And then the guy's now come to my car. So my friend, my ex was like, who are you with? And you know when you hear that meme when it's like, yeah. At this moment, she realized she fucked up. I was just like, yeah, no. Because I can't lie. I'm like, I don't know. Talk to him. He's like, who's him? Yeah, no.
And the thing is, even if you lied, the person could have just started talking to you and then that would have even made it worse. Like, what do you mean you're with no one? Or what do you mean you're with Tash Dasaman's voice or whatever it is? Like, yeah, I think that was a lose-lose situation. I don't think
I've been cool. I'm not really a liar per se. What I'm more of, in fact, I'm actually genuinely not a liar, but what I will do is, like, not tell the truth. So, you know, the role play situation we had a minute ago? Oh, yeah, I was doing the ding, ding, ding. Mm-hmm. That's the end.
Okay.
But, yeah, I consider myself quite a transparent person. And to be honest, if you ask me, I'll tell you and your heart might get broken. You know, that's the, you know, the facts and figures of the situation. But if for whatever reason I feel like I have to lie, then I'm not going to lie. I'm going to avoid the truth.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I can't lie. They'll know. That's why with your surprise meal, I just didn't talk about the meal at any point because I was like, if you start asking me too much questions, I have no idea. Do you remember? You literally said to me, oh, where are we going to eat? I said, I don't know.
Yeah. And that actually, that was a good tactic because I didn't even think, like, why would she not know where we're eating? Like, I just kind of, it just went over my head and that was it.
And then when I wrote on my phone a message for the lady. I don't know if you clocked that. And I flipped the phone around and showed the lady. Because I was like, if she asked me, what is it booked under? now it's just going to be long because it's either Kemi or it's for Shan. I was just like, let me just show her so she can read it.
I thought you were showing them the reservation.
No, it said, I think it's put under Kemi or Rashan, but this is a surprise and I'm with the surprisee, so please don't say nothing. And she was like, okay, come on. But yeah.
I'm very excited about today's episode because I feel like, you know, we just saw each other. We've had like really good momentum in terms of work. And I think I'm coming back to the UK, which I'm very excited mm-hmm. about. And so I feel like, you know, this is something that the next time we see each other, we should do in person and see how it works in a group of friends. So I'm excited to like do this as a tester for the next time I see you.
That's a good idea. Okay, little Miss Excitement, you go first.
Okay. If you could spend a day with any fictional character, so TV, film, a book that you read, whatever, cartoon, doesn't matter, who would it be and why? And what would you do, actually?
I'm not going to lie. My head is spun. And I've gone to three different types of people. They're all from Disney Channel, though, to be honest.
Okay.
So one was Sharpay from High School Musical. Did you ever watch High School Musical?
Oh, you are. No, but I know that you are a High School Musical, like, fan.
Yeah, so the reason I want to be with her is because Sharpay was like the rich girl. She was in the school, she was like the bitchy, mean, popular school girl. She could sing really well. She dressed really nice. And I've always found the American like schooling system quite interesting, how there's so much like hierarchy in it. And I've always wanted to explore that. So I feel like it'll be quite interesting to follow her around, like living the rich girl life, singing and stuff like that. Thought of her.
Okay.
This is in backwards order of the way I thought about it. And then there was a TV program called The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody. And that was like these twins. And they used to live in a hotel and their mum was a singer and they would just run riot. So like every episode would be them coming home from school and just being chaotic in the hotel. And I always say to people, like, sometimes I wish I could live another life of myself and just be the most chaotic person ever. Like walk into a restaurant and, you know, when you see all the little candles lit on a table, like just blow them all out, like, you know, just be that person. Like walk in central London and someone's got a wig on and you just take it off, like the thrill of it, I just think would be so banter. And I feel like they're like characters that I watched on TV that were always just like causing havoc and chaos. And then the first person that I thought of was That So Raven. And if you don't know about That So Raven was like a psychic and she was black. And she was really creative. She had a really good network of friends. And she could also see into the future. Like, she was a psychic, essentially.
She was also a singer. Like, had her own singing career outside of that show.
Yeah, but we're talking about the character.
No, I'm just saying the common thread across these three characters are that they have some connection to singing. I do love to sing.
Me. Don't want to show off my talents here. But yeah, I would love to be her friend and see what it's like to be with someone who like not predicts the future but can like see in the future and what it's like on the other side. Because I feel like, I'm not gonna say I'm psychic, that's a stretch, but I feel like I'm very intuitive. So I feel like I almost play the role of That's a Raven in my friends now. So to be on the other side would be interesting. Maybe I don't have to go through, you know, so much dating hurdles because she would just tell me, like, Rashan, that guy is no good. Okay, he's got a wife. That's a story for another day, guys. That's a story for another day.
I only know That's So Raven out of the three that you've mentioned. But as I said, the common thread is singing. Yes. But all very cool answers. And I think very insightful into, like, as you said, one is related to your childhood kind of wishes and being able to be, I guess, reckless.
But do you never think, you know, like there's this idea about reincarnation, yeah? And people, there's like a belief that like when you die, you come back again as something else. Like, I don't know if it's literally like a tree and a butterfly, if those are real things or if that's just people like mocking it or not. But like, I think this idea of coming back as somebody else, I've never really dig deep into it, but I feel like it's actually a really popular belief. Like, my younger siblings are always told, like, you've got an old spirit, you've got an old soul, you've been on this earth before. And I feel like for people like that, you're never really going to know if they were on this earth before, what they were like. But, like, some people that now that live a really, you know, cute, good life, do everything by the book, they could have been a criminal. They could have been a serial killer. Like...
Well, what they say is that there is a common thread that comes across these different lives and these different times. So, for instance, if I went to, I remember going to like a clairvoyant once. I'm a big fan of doing that. And I went back and I went back to her and she told me this whole process about my past life and how I was a healer or some kind of like priestess healing, but specifically with my hands. And I feel like in my current life, my physical caregiving for people has come through in this capacity, even as it relates to like how I interact with my partner. And it is very kind of like physical and very much with my hands. I love to give head rubs and that kind of thing to my partners. So I feel like there's always a common thread across those lives, or that's a popular belief, right? Is that you can come back as more than just energy, but like a characteristic or their character traits that come along with you.
I think this idea of like clairvoyance and like medium and stuff like that, I find it so interesting, especially like with the faith that I'm trying to uphold, because in the Bible it talks about spirits, and this is not a quote, so please, any person, don't come for me, but in the Bible it talks about spirits, and it basically says, my interpretation of it, the Roshan version, is that there's so many spirits that are around. And just be careful of the spirits that you decide to tap into, because there's only one spirit we should be following. But the Bible acknowledges that these people that have these spirits, some of them are for good and some of them are for evil, But I feel like for my friends who have gone to like clairvoyance or mediums, I feel like some of these people genuinely have gifts in the same way that you might have like a prophetic pastor, if you get what I mean. And I just think it's so interesting, because I was in Denmark not long ago and I was walking down the street and this man just stopped me. And he was like, excuse me. And as he started talking, I was like, oh, here we go. And then he started saying things that really related to me. And then I was with the other Leanne and she was like, Roshan, he could say that to anyone. And I'm like, no, but this is specific to me. Let me tell you why, okay? Because I do overthink. And he said, something important is going to happen in July. My birthday's in July. Like, this is a serious thing. But I think I would love to maybe explore that on the podcast one day, like having someone on.
Oh, that would be cool. Obviously, I've gone to clairvoyants before who are able to say very specific things, and others who, you know, are complete crap. But moreover, many of the kind of declarations of what's going to happen often come from people who are religious and who I know to be religious. Like one of my best friend's moms, she would literally say to me, God is telling me to tell you this right now. Like, he literally just told me this.
Can we get her on? Because I actually feel like, or can you, I need to send you after this episode, I need to send you some questions to ask her. I feel like I have that gift. But it only applies to certain people. It doesn't apply to everyone. If you get what I mean.
Exactly.
Like, sometimes I'd be talking to Aaliyah and I'm like, Aaliyah, I don't even know where this is coming from, but something is telling me I have to tell you this, and then I'll tell her. Do you get what I mean? Or I'll be like, I'll just start talking and I'll go into a ramble and I'll be like, I don't even know where that came from, but for him. But it makes sense to that person, but it doesn't make any sense to me. It's really scary.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not speaking. My voice is just
saying what, No, I mean, so those people, I always believe, because I feel like I know their connection with God. I know that where it's coming from, and I know that it's not something that they're monetizing, you know? So, but we should definitely have some sort of clairvoyant on the podcast one day. It would be very interesting.
And just with yourself, I know we've gone off topic here, but I'm loving it. At what point do you think, I'm going to go and see a clairvoyant? Is it like when you're stressed? Is it when someone's past? Like, is there a theme, or is it just like, I'm just feeling like a bit clairvoyancy today?
Usually it's because someone mentions that they saw someone who was good, and I'm like, let me go, kind of thing. So yeah, I think the last time I went, somebody was actually recommended to me. Like, they were like, oh, Leanne, I know you're into this kind of thing. You should definitely see this person. I think anytime I've done a repeat to that same person that's been recommended to me, it's usually because there's like a huge decision that I'm struggling with and I want to seek not just clarity, but I want to see if people can actually just give me the answer. You know, when you're in therapy and you're like, can you just tell me what to do? Just tell me what to do. And no therapist will, no good therapist will ever just tell you what to do. That's what a clairvoyant does for me. So I'll consult my therapist. I'll consult my clairvoyant, might go to church, you know, wherever I can get inspiration from, I will take
it. Leanne said, every spirit, every higher power I need, I will connect.
Yep. 100%.
Any of you can get it. Okay. Any of you can get it. Okay. My question to you is, if you could have a conversation with your future self, what advice or questions would you ask?
I think I would ask, how did we do? Like, did I fuck this up for us? Because, you know, every decision that you have in life has a consequence and has a knock on, and you never really know how impactful something is in the moment that you're doing it. It could be something as simple as like breaking a leg, or, you know, stepping on the wrong person's shoe, or, you know, marrying the wrong person. Although I don't think I've made a mistake in that area. But so yeah, I think I would just want to know, like, in the same vein as the clairvoyant, like, how is this going to turn out? Like, what does this look like? Am I happy? Because as much as I think I'm making the right decisions, I'm only making the decisions that I'm making based on the information that I have. And obviously my future self would have way more information than me. And I don't know if knowing the truth about how this turned out, like how life turned out, would make a difference in terms of the decisions that I've made up until this point. Like, sometimes it's just good to know what's in front of you without thinking that it has to change anything, you know?
Mm.
So, yeah, because I'm enjoying what I'm doing right now. I just don't know what it's going to mean for later on in life.
Right. That's interesting.
What would you say to your future self?
If I had a conversation with my future self, what advice or questions would I ask? I think why you gotta make it deep for me? Fuck it up.
It's your question.
I think I would have two things. So I just want to say, as a disclaimer, I'm feeling quite fine today. Okay. But I think I would say, does it get better?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. For when I'm not feeling fine, I would like to ask that. And more in like a, or maybe not, does it get better? I think I'd want to ask, did it pay off? Okay. I feel like I've taken a lot of sacrifices in my life, like even small things like delayed gratification. And sometimes I often think like all the sacrifices I'm making make sense and are the best decisions for me today if I get to see it out. And if I don't, I've actually just limited a lot of my life by like boxing myself into like, don't do this now, save for this now, save for that now. Like, my future me would definitely thank myself for it. But God forbid I passed away next year, I would have really like limited or capped my ability to have fun whilst I was on earth. So I feel like that's something I would ask. And then the other thing I'd want to know is if I became a mum. Mm. And I think that's something that has been like, I don't know why, but like the last few weeks, this has been something that's been like stressing me out a little bit. Like, I was even talking to one of my friends yesterday and I was like to her, I think I need to get a fertility MOT. she was like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, I need to get one because I was listening to a podcast and this lady said, and da 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 da. And she was like, you don't need to get one till you're like 35. Like, just chill out. But it just helped. But I was just trying to soundboard because I was starting to panic, because in my head I was like, okay, I'd like to have children. I know how I am with like trusting people I know what type of process I want to have in my head in terms of like being with someone for a bit and then getting married and then having a child. And I'm like, then I'm doing the math and the figures based on the quality of men that I'm currently encountering. It's not seeming very likely. So I was just panicking a little bit, you know? So I think it'll be interesting to know that, because I think if I could go to the future me and ask her that question and get an answer, it would change a lot or confirm a lot of what I'm doing now.
This is a kind of random question to ask after, slightly related. Would you ever consider like going to a sperm bank and being a single mom and just raising a kid on your own if you didn't meet the right person or who you deem to be the right person?
This is what's interesting, is because when I messaged my friend, let me actually get the exact text up that I sent to her, yeah? So I said to my friend, I'm watching a podcast with someone talking about motherhood, and I'm just deep in, like, if I don't meet someone in a timely manner, I'll really have to look at solo options. And my friend said, what do solo options mean? Because I think in her head, she's like, what you just said is not an option, basically.
Yeah.
So we continued the conversation and she was like, the only solo option that makes sense is adoption, which even then you have to think about if you're meeting a man after adopting a child and then you want your own, that can be quite complex. And I thought to myself, that doesn't feel like the only solo option for me, because I feel like if I wanted to, so I've always wanted to adopt, and I feel like that's always going to happen anyway. It's been one of my dreams since I was really, really young. I come from a family where a lot of people adopt and or like at least foster. But I wouldn't be against the idea of having a sperm donor. No, I wouldn't. But I think it kind of goes against my whole ideology of what I want for my future child. And I want to have a family, and I want to have like that sort of setup.
Right. It's a family that you want. I don't know specifically how, or more generally.
Or it's a child that I want within stability. And I know stability does. I know like, there's been lots of mums who have done single motherhood or single parenthood really well and they've excelled at it. But I think if you ask any of those mums if they could do it again in the same way and have a partner or a co-parent that was really active and present, I feel like most of them would choose that option. So I wonder how much... Basically, what I'm saying is, I don't know if there's a level of selfishness to the idea of me having a child with a sperm donor and not having, or knowingly not having, a dad or a father to parent that child as well.
But you could have male figures who are dedicated to supporting like really good godfathers, but you wouldn't necessarily have a compact.
When it's like, I don't know if I think it's enough on the basis of I'm entering this knowing that this is the setup for that child.
Got you.
Mm-hmm. Do you get what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like the option would be, you know, when you're younger, I don't know if you ever did this yet, but I said to my best friend who's actually gay, I was like, if we're both single at 30, we're going to have babies together and get married. So maybe I got to go to him, because at least they'll know who their dad is.
There is a movie about this very thing, and I cannot remember what it's called, but basically Jennifer Aniston and Paul Rudd are in this movie. Object of My Affection, that's what it's called. Watch Object of My Affection. But Jennifer Aniston wants to have a baby. She can't really find a decent man, or she doesn't want to get... And then I think she ends up getting pregnant unexpectedly, but she wants her and her gay boyfriend or her gay bestie to raise the kid together rather than with a man that she's romantically involved with. So yeah, it's a worthwhile watch.
Maybe I need to watch that and then come back. But yeah, I think it's just a seasonal phase that I'm in. You know, I went from being terrified of motherhood, wanting to be rich aunt, wanting to be a mum, to now being like, is it going to happen? You know? But I think it kind of goes back to that, you know, the conversation around pressures we set ourselves to do things at certain times. And even though I feel like I've really like broken myself or freed myself from those shackles of deadlines that I set myself when I was 12 and naive, I think they've been subconsciously in the back of my head of like recent, when I've just been meeting poly-based men. Yeah.
It's always the mother's fault, guys. Always.
It is.
That's another podcast story altogether. Okay.
Yes.
I have a question. If we were stranded on a desert island, which one of us would last longer before, which one of us would last longer?
If we were on a desert island. Okay, let me ask you some questions first. Are you willing to eat anything?
Within reason.
I saw a documentary yesterday, or it's like on Channel 4, they've got these mini documentaries. And I didn't watch it, but the start of it was basically saying this guy was stranded. I can't remember the reason why. And he had to eat his like friends who are dead. Had to eat them to survive. Would you do that?
So I'm thinking on this desert island that there are going to be coconuts. There are going to be, somehow we'll be able to use bamboo and like create fishing rods for ourselves so that we can go spear fishing.
Spear fishing? Yeah, you've won. I'm not doing all of that. Okay, I'm not doing all of that. What's going to happen is we're going to be on this desert island. I'm not going to want to do most of this stuff. You're going to eventually get fed up and be like, you know what, Roshan? F you. Mm-hmm. You're going to go for a walk. My PTSD is going to kick in. I'm going to be like, I'm not going to find you in the dark. And I'm going to have to float in the sea, in the water. And you might find me on another island. Okay? Because I'm not doing spear fishing, baby. No. Where is Uber Eats? Yeah. Uber Eats better find its way on the boat. Here. Yeah. No.
Okay.
You've won.
I mean, this may not be the island that we end up getting stuck on, but yeah, I would attempt for us to have us survive for as long as possible.
No, what I'm there to do, I'm there for the morale.
You can do this.
Okay. I'm there. I'll be doing prayers. Mm-hmm. I'll be making songs. I'll be finding games for us to do. I'll be the activity person.
The wellness person.
Yeah. Right. I'll be bringing the wellness.
Make sure we don't go crazy while we're on the island. That's important.
I'm going to keep us grounded and you're going to keep us fed. Okay? I'll find the liquor. I'll find the liquor. Okay. What is the most memorable dream that you've ever had?
Oh, I had this recurring dream when I was younger and it was the same every single time. Somehow we were all in our house. This is my family home that I grew up in. And we would get attacked by a group of, or a pride of lions that were also vampires. I know. And eventually we started like, you know, we had to leave the house because they were tearing down the walls. And so we start like, you know, making backpacks and like getting ready to escape. And all of us are escaping. Somehow my back garden turns into this like crazy jungle that's completely covered with like, you know, trees and et cetera, et cetera. And slowly, one by one, my family gets killed by these, lions that are also vampires. And eventually it's just me and this one lion who keeps reducing in age.
So the lion's getting younger.
Yeah. So at first it's, you know, a big lion, but then as I'm running and running and running, the lion's getting smaller and turning into a cub, basically, but still just as vicious, just a cub that is now still a vampire. And it always ends with me jumping off of a cliff and I wake up falling. So like the lion is like crazy. The cub at this point in time has made a leap towards me and I leap to escape it and then I wake up.
Did your siblings ever have the same dream?
This is actually the first time I've ever told this story to anyone. If you were to create a motto for your life, what would it be and why?
Oh, this is a good question. If I was to create a motto, that I live by, which isn't unique,
okay,
is whatever is not meant whatever's meant for you won't pass you by.
Right.
That's a motto I live by. If I was to create a motto, the thing is, what am I thinking about? There's something that I always say. I think in the season that I'm in now, I would say let go and let God. That's okay. What I would say.
That's a good one.
Yeah. I feel like we spoke in a recent episode about our need to control things. And it kind of goes back to what I said a moment ago about like the idea around motherhood. And it's like, mm-hmm. I just need to let go of this fear and the worries and just let God. Like, yeah. Whatever's going to happen, it's already been written. So there's no point me worrying. There's no point me trying to do a fertility MOT check. Like, whatever's of God's will is going to happen. And I just need to allow it to happen. So I feel like right now, my motto would be let go and let God. And I actually think I think that mental health and faith is a whole nother subject. But I do think if I had the faith I had now, the faith I had maybe a year ago when I was younger and my anxiety was starting to bubble, it may not have got as bad as it got because I would have found peace in the faith that I had.
Fair.
So
fair.
Yeah, I would say let go and let God.
That's good. That's a good motto to have.
I don't want to bring the vibe down. I really want to know the answer to this.
Go for it.
Think about a time in your life where you was going through a treacherous ordeal.
Okay.
Have you got a time?
I have a few times, yeah.
Just think of one though.
Okay. Yeah.
What song got you through that time and why?
Oh, here's the thing. It's interesting because as you were answering the motto question, I was like, gosh, I couldn't answer that question. But every time something deep is happening to me, good or bad, I feel like there's a soundtrack in my head. Like there are songs that I'll repeat or an artist that I'll repeatedly listen to over and over and over again. And so I can very clearly associate songs with moments in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about two moments, and both of them are artists rather than specific songs, although I could probably point to a few songs.
The question was one.
Okay, mm-hmm. One. All right. Do you want heartbreak or death?
Oh. Cannot breathe. We're so unserious. Okay, give me one for each.
Okay.
I take it back. We'll do two different moments.
All right, okay. So when my dad was passing, I played a soundtrack for him, not a song, but it was kind of like a soundtrack. You know, they say when people are like transitioning, you play music for them that keeps them like present,
more comfortable. Yeah,
and kind of more comfortable and at ease. So I played him The Best of Anita Baker, because that was one of his favorite artists, and we used to listen to her together all the time. And the song specifically that he was obsessed with was You Bring Me Joy. So we used to listen to that all the time. Like I would get up in the morning, sit with him, and then just play that entire album throughout the course of the day. So that's one. Then when I was breaking up with my ex over and over and over again, because it happened on multiple occasions, I actually think I have a playlist on my Spotify, which I will make public, called Heartbreak. And you'll notice...
I've got one called Heartbreak Hotel.
And you'll notice that most of those songs are Jhené Aiko. So Wasted Love Freestyle, Lion King, none of my... What's the other song that she has? The song with Big Sean.
Big Sean.
I can't remember the name of it, no. None of My Concern Anymore, when she broke up with Big Sean. Sorry. Yeah. Definitely that song. And very randomly, there is a song, a country song by Reba McEntire and another woman, I can't remember her name, Linda Ronstadt maybe. And it's called "Does He Love You?" And it's this back and forth conversation between these two women. And the chorus is, "Does he love you like he loves me?" Oh, God, this is very deep.
Oh, that's very deep.
Because one woman is the wife and the other woman is the side chick. And she's like, well, I get right. all of his nights and he leaves you to come to me. And the wife is like, yeah, but he comes home to me. Like, he chose me. I'm his wife kind of thing. It's a dope-ass country song in terms of lyrics. But
I feel like we need to create the ultimate heartbreak playlist.
Yes.
And share it, because clearly we've got some unpacking to do here. In terms of music, not in terms of like actual emotions. No. But I'm not going to lie, yeah. I don't think there's any music that hits like heartbreak music. I don't think there's any... And gospel, but take that out. Worldly music, unfortunately.
Luke Christian.
I just feel like there's not... You see heartbreak music, yeah? I remember one time, and I was heartbroken over someone that I wasn't even in love with. It wasn't even my man, but this is what happened. And I was going gym, yeah, and I was doing spin classes at 6 a.m. in the morning. This is how you know I was going through it, because who gets up at 5 o'clock to go to spin? And I had Kat Burns' "Let It Go" on.
That song is on my playlist.
For like 30 minutes.
That song is on my playlist. And the thing is, you don't even need to be heartbroken to feel the pain of heartbreak songs. Like, you can be 10 and be singing about that Keisha Cole song, "Love." That these like
nine, have you seen the video of all the kids
singing the song, like they're like they have been heartbroken, like some man has broken their heart into tiny pieces. I think it's so adorable, but that's another story for another day. But yeah, like, you don't need to have experienced what the person is going through as long as they can evoke that like emotion.
So my last question is, if you could relive one day from your past, what day would it be and why?
Hard. Too much struggle, man. I don't know.
Not the struggle.
It's not hard to find good days. There, you know what? There are actually so many moments now that I'm really thinking about it. But what would be the perfect day? Okay, I got it. I literally last week, and I've had other days like this, so let's call it one big memory. On Thursday, I took the week off, as you know. I went to Negril and I got up at 8 a.m., went straight to the beach, and spent maybe 9 hours intermittently floating in the water and sitting on the sand and having drinks and eating food and talking to nobody. Maybe I occasionally spoke to Barry now and again. And of course, if I wanted a drink and ordered it, but no like deep conversations. And yeah, if I could sit on a beach over and over and over again and just float and look up into the sky, I can't think of anything like more peaceful than that.
I know we talk about it a lot, but the way we love being in the sea and water is actually crazy.
Yeah, it makes me so happy.
It's actually crazy.
I can't even tell you. Maybe we were dolphins in another life.
Maybe I was a whale. I'd actually like to be a shark, so people know that I'm a gangster, okay? A gangster. Did I tell you that I have 3 fears I want to get over this year? Did I tell you that already? So one is public speaking, which I did the other day. The other is jumping off a cliff into the ocean, because I love being in the sea, but jumping into the sea is a whole different
ball. When you come to December, we will go to Negril and jump off, maybe not Rick's Cafe because that's a little intense, because that's like a 30-foot drop, but there's a bridge at this hotel called Rockhouse Hotel, and it's not a big jump. I've done it before. And it is just and it's beautiful, clear ocean, like literally right below you. So it's jumping into the sea.
So I can see it.
You can see directly. The water is clear.
So I can see
clear.
There's no sharks.
You can
okay,
see there's
perfect.
No sharks, nothing. You literally walk, you know, like looking down into clear blue water.
And can you have a life jacket?
If you want to, I guess, yeah. But you don't need one.
Because my plan is to do it twice. Once without a life once with a life jacket and then once without.
You can do it with a life jacket.
Okay. And then my third thing, which if I don't do before Jamaica, for those listening, I'm planning to go for Christmas. My third thing is to do karaoke.
Okay. Actually, that would be one of my fears to overcome as well.
Yeah. Those are my three fears for this year that I need to work through because it's getting out of hand.
Okay.
All right.
Maybe when I come to London, we should go to a karaoke night.
That would be good.
Yeah.
And actually, guys, if you're listening, if you want to be invited, sign up to our newsletter because we're going to have, we're going to be celebrating our fourth year anniversary in June.
Or is it five?
Is it five?
I think it's five.
2019? Oh, shit. I lied. We're going to be celebrating our five years.
Yeah.
I have a toddler. We're going to be celebrating our fifth year anniversary in June, guys. So if you're someone who wants to make new friends, wants to find out more about us, wants to join the community, then that'll be a good space or time for you to come. So feel free to do that. And if you have any fears that you're working on this year, then feel free to email us info@dopeblackwoman.org. And we'd love to hear from you.
Bye, folks.
Thank you so much for listening to the Unapologetically Black podcast brought to you by the Dope Black Women CIC.
If you like this episode, please tweet us, DM us, or even message us at Dope Black Women across all socials.
Unapologetically Black.